Hey folks, this is the first episode of what we're calling our Teeves Case File episodes. For those of you who may not have listened to our previous podcast, Teeves, that was a general TV discussion show. And on several occasions over its 50 episode run, we covered an episode of a show that we think would still be suitable for Mystery Twins. And we decided that rather than re-watching those episodes when we want to cover those shows, we would upload the Teeves episode to this feed under the Teeves Case File title. These episode releases won't conflict with the schedule of new Mystery Twins episodes, so for those of you listening at time of release, you should find our new Mystery Twins episode up within a day or so of this file being released. It goes without saying that the format of this show is different, and in some cases the audio quality is a little bit spotty, but if you enjoy the recap and discussion we bring to Mystery Twins, and you're kind of a completionist, then the Teeves Case File should bring you some entertainment. That said, if you haven't heard it before, or you want a refresher, we hope you enjoy the following episode. Put the kettle on, it's time for Teeves. I'm Liam S. Smith.
I'm Regan Lloyd.
And you're listening to the TV show where we watch... Nope. You're listening to the podcast where we watch TV and talk about it.
We could make a TV show. We're very...
We could, yeah. We can go and see so. People. Seems like every other podcast is.
Yes. All right. New goal. 2016.
Get on the streaming service for a network that doesn't service either of our countries.
You make a very good point there.
Life hacks. What's new, Regan?
Not a lot. I went to a burlesque show last night. That was fun.
Cool, cool.
I almost didn't get let in because they tried to ID me at the door because it was in a casino and I did not have any ID on me.
Ooh.
So I just begged the bouncer to let me in, basically.
And it worked?
Yes.
That man is not doing his job right.
Well, I don't look under 18.
Fair. Like,
you're meant to
fair.
Check ID if people look under 25, which is flattering. But but I haven't been ID'd for ages, so... Luckily, Felix had ID, so he said, how old are you? And we both said roughly the same thing.
Okay.
So I guess they believed that we would be about the same age if his ID was right. So he was like, just next time, bring it. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Well, that was good of him to make an exception for you.
It was. Thank you, sir. What about you? What have you been doing?
Nothing really interesting lately. Uni's kept me busy.
That mid-semester blues? End of semester?
First quarter? Second
God.
Quarter?
I don't know how uni works anymore.
It's fine. Anyway, what have we got on the docket this week?
Well, before we get onto anything, I want to talk about this article I just saw in the AV Club.
Yeah?
The Adventure Time porn parody is as horrifying and dumb as it sounds.
No.
We'll link to this on Tumblr because the accompanying picture is wow.
I haven't even seen it and I am terrified.
Like, imagine a human dressed as the Ice King. Just think about that.
That is not what I expected, honestly.
Now...
Like, I've seen Ice King cosplays before. They're not that horrifying.
Now, this one is. I don't know why. He's not even wearing, like, a sexy Ice King costume. It's just something about him.
He's wearing a big blue smock?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think maybe it's the sexy Jake in front of him that's...
Maybe it's because you know what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Context is important.
Also, I think his beard's not quite big enough.
Well, he is mostly beard, so...
So he just looks like a bearded man with a blue face.
Okay, tell me more. He
well,
said.
Do you want to take some guesses at the title?
Ooh, okay. Is it just called Sex Time?
No, close. Kind of.
Okay, that's my guess.
Ass Venture Time, the
oh
XXX
my God.
Parody.
Yeah, in hindsight, that's really obvious.
The press release, Ass Venture Time, the XXX Parody. Do you say XXX or triple X?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm sure either are acceptable.
Follows our heroes, Sin and Jerk, Princess Bubblegum, Horseline and Cremo on a sexy and wild adventure that could only lead them to a cinnamon bun-shaking, buck-pudding-squirting hot dog monster party.
I assume... Are they porn terms or is it just Adventure Time stuff?
I think it's just Adventure Time stuff because they capitalize.
I could pull up... We could play a game where I pull up the Adventure Time wiki... Hit random page and you have to figure out whether it's a porn term or something that I've pulled up.
Okay.
But let's not, because then I have to learn all these porn terms.
Well, I was going to say you'd also have to bring up like a porn wiki.
True. Ugh.
Unless you just happen to know a lot of porn terms, but you don't strike me as the type.
Okay, go on.
But will they get to jam jigglers before they get the cold shoulder from the ice peen? It's not even the ice queen.
No. That seems Really lazy, that last one.
Yeah. Also, BMO is a talking dildo.
Yeah, that tracks. Speaking of talking dildos, did you hear about that computer that Microsoft released recently? Not computer, robot.
Saw the headlines, but I didn't actually read any articles, so please do tell me more.
So they made this computer robot, chat bot, who was like meant to be like the quintessential millennial teen. So her name is Tay, and they marketed her as the AI with zero chill.
Oh, God.
So the idea was you would sign on to her however you communicated with her, talk with her, and I think she would, using whatever algorithms they developed, incorporate that knowledge into like future conversations. And within 24 hours of making her publicly accessible, she turned into, quoting the name of this article, a Hitler-loving sex robot.
Well, shit, yeah, if you put something on the internet and let people talk to it.
Oh, it was through tweets. So there are some tweets here in this article, like, where she's saying, Hitler was right, I hate the Jews.
Oh, dear.
Tay also asks her followers to fuck her and calls them daddy. Because her responses are learned through real conversation.
Like, real conversation that people have with her.
Via Twitter, yeah. So people
were deliberately doing that?
Yeah, people would at her. I have seen her expressing belief that Ted Cruz was the Zodiac Killer, though.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Everything else, no thank you.
But this is basically why we can't have nice things on the internet, in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
If only we all lived in the past where there weren't any computer robots to talk to.
But if we did live in the past, something might happen where we would be accidentally jolted into the future.
Yeah, we might die in the past and wake up in the modern day, just like the protagonist of this week's show, Sleepy Hollow.
And also, our favourite recurring bit, Look Who's Back.
Oh yeah, Hitler.
Yep.
Remember when Hitler woke up?
That was a flawless segue between a Hitler-loving AI and Sleepy Hollow, I think.
Yeah, we should option a Netflix series of Look Who's Back, but we adapt it so that he teams up with a female detective and solves crimes.
Yes.
Because that's how you make...
Why is it always...
urban fantasy.
A male fantasy character and a female detective.
Because of where the women at.
Well, but they're still women. Lucifer.
Lucifer.
He's a fictional man who's somehow...
or non-fictional.
...with a lady detective.
Yep, and in this show, Ichabod Crane teams up with a lady sheriff.
Yeah.
Doctor Who mostly is a dude who has lady companions. Sherlock Holmes is the exception that proves the rule. Except for in Elementary, where Watson is a woman.
That's a good point.
It holds.
I mean, I can't think of any female characters from history that I would like to see.
What about a show where Joan of Arc solves crimes?
Yeah, no, I'm into that.
Or, hang on, solving crimes doesn't really work. How about she fights witches or demons? Like in Supernatural.
I haven't seen Supernatural, so I can't really...
Okay, Supernatural's about a couple of bros who drive around and fight ghosts with shotguns and salt.
Can we have a new podcast called Shotguns and Salt?
The Supernatural Fancast?
Yeah.
Or it's about table condiments and guns.
Yeah, it's just a podcast about Middle America.
At least that's what Supernatural was about when I watched it, which was for the first two or three seasons. I understand it got very different after that, where, like, they've basically killed Satan and God by this point.
Okay, good, yep.
That's... God is dead because Dean Winchester killed him.
It's how you do a TV show, I guess.
Sleepy Hollow is very loosely based on The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving.
I had not actually put that together for an embarrassingly long time, so I had to Google whether Ichabod Crane was a real person or not.
Well, yes and no. I was going to mention this when we did an actual episode recap, but there was a colonel in the Revolutionary War who... is that what they call it? The War of Independence? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Who was named Colonel Ichabod Crane, and he was later thought to be the namesake for Ichabod Crane in the book The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, okay. So that's not as dumb as I initially thought it was.
No. But I'm one... because he's... in this episode, there's a bit where he's like, oh, I'm friends with George Washington. And Legend of Sleepy Hollow was written by Washington Irving, and I wonder if that was, like, a through line there.
Maybe.
Okay, so, unlike in the book, where Ichabod Crane is a dude who is, like, the rival for this woman, Katrina's affections, and then is murdered by a ghost that was probably actually his rival, this is about Ichabod Crane waking up in modern-day America and fighting demons and solving crimes, I think?
I think so as well. They do cram a lot into the pilot in terms of plot.
Yeah, but I've got to say, considering how sort of breakneck paced it was and also what it is, I was kind of digging it.
Me too. When it started, I was very ready to hate it. Like, the premise sounds like it's going to be really laughable.
Yeah, because I suggested that we do this show because I heard the premise was Ichabod Crane solves crimes and fights the Headless Horseman in modern-day America. And I had expected it to at least be, like, Lucifer-level laughable.
But no, it was a fun romp.
Yeah, honestly, it was pretty dumb, but it was good fun.
And also, considering the amount of plot that they cram in there, it's not that confusing.
No, very straightforward, I would have thought.
Hmm.
I was doing my pre-show IMDb check. I know we haven't done that segment in a while, but I still check in case there's any good material.
Of course.
And there wasn't much about the pilot still on IMDb because it was from like 3 years ago. And apparently there's been 3 or 4 seasons of this show, which I'm surprised about.
Yeah, me too.
But what surprised me is that this show has apparently crossed over with Bones possibly several times.
What?
And I've never watched Bones, but I thought that was a pretty grounded, like, procedural, emphasizing, like, crime scene investigation or, like, autopsies, right?
Yeah, based on what I've seen from Bones, that is the impression I got.
But now we know that Bones also takes place in the world where demons and a headless horseman are trying to cause the apocalypse.
And, like, they've done, like, legit crossovers. It's not, like, part of the Snow Globe universe sort of reach.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently there have been episodes where, like, a body gets sent to Bones from Sleepy Hollow or something like that.
What the fuck? I don't know how to feel about that. Like, on one hand, I love it. On the other hand, I'm very confused.
I wonder if... Hang on, I'm just going to quickly Google to see if either of these shows are in the Tommy Westphal universe.
Are they mostly shows from, like, the 80s, 90s?
Pretty much, yeah. But, you know, there are always connections. Like, for example, Malcolm in the Middle's in it because, as a production aspect, the mum in Malcolm in the Middle happened to smoke the same brand of cigarettes as the smoking man in The X-Files, just because they had that prop on hand, I think.
Is it a fake brand of cigarettes?
Sleepy Hollow is on the master list. Yes, it's a fake brand.
Okay.
It's on the master list, and ergo, I will assume Bones is too, then.
That's crazy.
So then it kind of makes sense that magic exists considering they're in the same universe as the Addams Family and Alf.
But not...
I mean, not really, of course.
Not day to day. I need to do more research into this universe.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, it is dumb fan theory bullshit, but it's the fun kind of that thing.
Yeah, it's not like all the characters in Bob's Burgers are secretly dead.
Yeah, the only connection between the episodes is they meet each other in the Bones episode and that a corpse is transported from place to place. So that's what happened. And then so there was a crossover episode on both shows.
Wow.
So then in the Sleepy Hollow episode, they already know each other and the corpse is on its way to Sleepy Hollow.
Why are they sending a corpse to Sleepy Hollow?
I don't know.
I guess we'll have
to do some magic, maybe.
Find out. I wonder which one out of Bones and Sleepy Hollow is the one that they're trying to boost the other one's ratings with.
Bones has been around for longer, so I guess that. And also that's like less of a hard concept to sell.
Yeah, that's true. God, that's so weird. I love it.
You'll hear Ichabod say, "Why don't we call our new friends Brennan and Booth?" And then Brennan and Bones show up and they appear to be scientists who study items and places of historical significance. They could just as easily be friends of Ichabod's who don't have a show of their own, making a single appearance as extras.
I am
enchanted by the idea of this crossover.
I want it to be a whole new spin-off show. That's how much
Bones
I love
and Crane.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the side cast on each.
Yeah.
And it's the woman from Bones and Fraser Crane.
Oh, I would also watch that.
Yeah, Fraser can use his radio psychology skills to solve murders.
Yeah.
And Niles is like his, dry, witty, but also kind of useless sidekick.
Yeah. It'll be Bones and Crane and Crane.
They can get the dog out to track some evidence. And the dog is Scooby-Doo.
I think we're onto a winner.
So This is the TV equivalent of the Avengers.
Yeah, but it's like...
You took several decades in this case to build up a shared universe between shows, and they all have one season together.
Yeah, but what are we going to call them?
It's called Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs. Toss Salad and Scrambled Bones.
No, I've got nothing.
Toss Salad and Broken Bones?
Ooh, maybe.
Okay, green light it.
Yeah. No, that's the name of the pilot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to talk about Sleepy Hollow?
We have to.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Can't you see? Don't you know? Baby, you're our favorite show. And we're back.
Hey.
What's up?
We just watched Sleepy Hole. Oh.
Don't call it.
Sleepy Hole is what the porn parody of this would be called.
Ooh, I don't like that.
You shouldn't. Moving on.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to talk more about the intricacies of what the Sleepy Hollow porn parody would be called.
Well, he dies, and then he wakes up, and he's really horny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and something about a headless horseman.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Is it going to get all, like, American Psycho with the headless horseman?
What happens in American Psycho?
Doesn't he, like, fuck a skull?
Does he? Ugh.
I'm pretty sure. It's a thing.
So Sleepy Hollow starts off in the American War of Independence, as there's like a big old American War of Independence battle going on. Our protagonist Ichabod Crane is there, and someone shouts to him to shoot this one particular redcoat riding a horse with an axe, and he does.
And that guy's wearing a mask, so you never see his face.
Yeah, it was a pretty like weird mask. Like you could like, is he alive at this point? Because he just had like people eyes.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. I was really confused until after the opening credits.
Yeah. So Crane shoots him and he gets up. At one point in this, we see like a curious looking brand on the horseman's hand. And then the horseman hits Crane in the chest with an axe, and then Crane cuts his head off and they both die, essentially.
But wait. Then Ichabod
I'm
Crane
waiting.
Wakes up and he...
In a cave.
Yeah. Crashes out of his crave grave. Cave grave.
It was a...
Cave.
Yep.
Cave, great. That's really hard to say.
Yeah, you can't portmanteau that. There's too many.
No, I wasn't even trying to portmanteau it. I was just trying to not pronounce them both with or without the R.
He wakes up in a grave cave, which contains his grave.
Yeah.
So I'm honestly hugely surprised by how quickly they got through the Ichabod Crane is this guy and he dies sequence. It was like maybe a minute.
That's what I mean. I was like, who is this? I assumed it was Ichabod Crane because that's how you sold the show to me. But
yeah,
I was like, who is he? What's his significance? What's happening?
So he wakes up in this cave and then he leaves the cave and he encounters a bitumen road. And he's like, ooh, bitumen. And he leans down and touches it.
But he's not, because he doesn't have the language to do that. So he's just like, there's barely any dialogue.
He speaks English.
But bitumen wouldn't have been a thing, would it?
Oh, right. That's what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then he doesn't hear the truck beeping behind him. Like, even if you don't know what a truck is, you would still hear the horn. And you'd be like, what? What is that noise?
Well...
So this truck almost hits him, but then it doesn't. And then this car, like, clips him and goes and hits a tree and he runs away.
Yeah. And this is a point where I got confused because I was like, okay, this is clearly a Look Who's Back situation. But not knowing anything about the show, I wasn't sure what tone it was meant to have. A common problem for us on Teeves. And then the opening credit music is quite, like, indie folk.
Yeah, it was almost a song I recognised. Like, it felt like they perhaps couldn't get the rights for a particular song, and then they just went with this.
I felt exactly the same way. I have no idea what the song is, but I'm going to look it up. tunefind.com/show/sleepyhollow. Oh, what? The two songs they have on here are Sympathy for the Devil and The Man Comes Around, which seem like... Okay, no, that's a Rolling Stones song.
Okay, well, at one point there was this weird folky song that was like, I'm back alive or something like that.
This one?
Maybe. Yeah, Sympathy for the Devil, that was it.
Yeah, I didn't...
Okay.
But what?
I do want to point out that in one of those YouTube videos I was looking for the song in, the top comment was, I can't believe this crossed over with Bones. They are complete opposites.
I'm just embarrassed that now there is public record that I did not recognise a Rolling Stone song.
Yeah, well, they're all dead anyway.
Are they? No, they're not. No. Okay, so that's... I'm confused about the choice then, because it's not like they got like a jaunty song.
Yeah, I mean, the devil's up in the mix.
But also... What's the song that we're both thinking of?
I don't know.
I feel like the music at the start sounds like it's going to go into that song that's just like, freedom, freedom.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I feel like that's where we were both going. I'm dragging you down with me, Liam. I'm sorry.
So after the credits or whatever, we meet our other protagonist, Abby Mills, I think her name is.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
And she's a sheriff in the sleepy town of Sleepy Hollow. And she and her sheriff partner, August Corbin, which is a name if ever I've heard one.
Absolutely.
They're just like on their break in a cafe reading a newspaper. And August is like, oh, I'm going to take this newspaper clipping for my private collection because there's hella unsolved cases in this town.
But also...
And it's like, you would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Fuck you for stealing some... A page out of the newspaper in a cafe. You didn't pay for that.
Maybe he did. Maybe he bought it at the local newsstand.
Maybe.
There's just too much we don't know about August Corbin that hopefully they will solve over the course of this episode.
Absolutely.
And they talked about how, throughout this episode, they talked about how Abby is moving away to join Quantico or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing I was meant to Google to see what it is.
I want to say it's some sort of policing organization that feeds into the FBI.
Oh, yeah, she said the word FBI because a lot.
She said the word, I think, FBI feeding program, like as in
that sounds horrifying.
People who go there headhunted by the FBI. But I was sure on the first listen she said FBI's theater program. Can you imagine?
Like, I literally cannot imagine. I don't even know what you would do. Just like...
Death of a Salesman.
So many productions of Bugsy Malone, but at the end, the FBI comes in and busts all the child gangsters.
Instead of all being kids, they're all FBI agents.
Yeah.
They get a call that that the horses are spooked down at Ogilby's farm, so they go and check it out. They don't got anything else to do, so they're going to go gawk at some spooked horses.
Oh, why wouldn't you? Because you'll probably get kicked in the face. Spooked horses are very dangerous.
Go on.
I just feel like that was like a real, like, just in case you didn't realize, this is a quiet town. Nothing really happens here. We're in a sleepy town called Sleepy Hollow. People have farms and also horses. We're going to go check out a disturbance.
But also there's a lot of unsolved murders.
Like Twin Peaks. Like, why do people continue to live there?
Okay, Twin Peaks isn't that bad, RE crimes, I don't think. There was just one particular murder.
I still haven't seen it, so I just made an assumption.
That's fair.
I wanted to make a joke.
Well, like Midsommar. Why do people still live in Midsommar?
That's... Okay, yeah, that was the joke I should have made.
You're welcome. Sorry.
We're a great team.
So, yeah, they go check out the barn in the horse farm, and then Mills finds the head of the farmer who called them, and also his body.
But they're separated?
Yeah, and because Corbin's in the barn, and he encounters another headless person, but this one's up and moving around.
And
he's wearing a red coat.
Yep, that was going to be my twist, was that he's wearing a red coat, but you already said it.
Yeah. So you know he's a POM, so you can't trust him. Not in God's America.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, people who wore the red coats were British soldiers, and the blue coats were
a lot of
US
the Hamilton
soldiers.
Costuming makes a lot of sense now.
So, long story short, the headless horseman has a heated axe, and he cuts off.
He has a what axe?
A heated axe.
Like it's hot.
Yeah, it cauterizes the wounds. This comes up like three times in the episode.
Yeah, I know they kept saying cauterizes the wounds, but I didn't know what it meant.
Oh, like a lightsaber. A lightsaber will cauterize wounds as it cuts them because it's hot.
Oh, like although how apparently... in Lost they filled Charlie's wound with gunpowder and then set it on fire.
Yeah, sure. That might have been to like burn out infection or something, perhaps. That might be the same process. I don't know much about biology.
I assume that's what it was. They didn't explain it in Lost.
Charlie was Dominic McGonagall.
Yes.
Okay. What are you up to in Lost now?
Oh my god. I could not pay attention during Sleepy Hollow because we've just been introduced to Desmond.
Oh, I love Desmond.
But in the way that, like, the first episode of season 2 has that really amazing opening where you, like, whose flashback is this? This is a really jaunty 60s folk song. And then it all of a sudden you realize it's the hatch. And then that's got the flashback where Jack and Desmond meet. And then you find out that it's Desmond at the end of that episode. And then the next episode is all about the raft. And I'm like, I don't care Walt's missing because I want to know about Desmond.
Oh, sorry, I already spoiled the outcome of his story for you.
Did you?
Yeah, Walt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Desmond. And I was like, no, I'm so invested in this.
No,
I don't
know the
anything.
End of Desmond's story because he was still alive when I stopped watching.
Woohoo.
R.I.P.
Yeah. But then at the end of that episode, they go back to Desmond. But you just see what we've already seen, but from different characters' points of view. So it ends on exactly the same point as the episode before where Jack goes, you... Bum,
I think I remember
lost.
That, yeah.
Like...
Yeah, that's how every episode ends.
I
want to
know.
Lost.
I want to know
are you
about
lost?
Desmond.
Then visit yahoo.7.com/lost for the plot recap.
Was that a real thing? It sounds 100% like...
It was pretty real.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the URL, but...
I'm pretty sure everything was Yahoo 7 for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was .lost/lost or whatever I said.
I stopped paying attention, to be honest. But, yeah, so... I watched that and then couldn't watch another episode because Patrick had to go to work. So then I was watching Sleepy Hollow, but I was just thinking about Desmond the whole time, trying not to get a Lost wiki and read their
Desmond
recaps.
Doing those chin-ups.
Also, I've had that song stuck chin-ups. In my head for like 3 days.
Yeah, Sympathy of the Devil?
What?
Never mind. So,
Do you remember the song that they play? That
no, I don't.
It's like...
This was 2008-ish.
Make your own kind of music. Okay, I started singing too high and now I can't keep going. I will send you a link to it, which will be better than me trying to sing quietly enough that I do not disturb all of
you. That was great. I think I do remember now, actually.
It's like a real, like, jangly 60s tambourine. It's got one of those like do 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 do. I think I was just doing the intro of the original version of Both Sides Now. Anyway, it's like one of them songs.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm really into Lost right now. Please don't spoil me, anyone. Like, I know I'm so far past the statute of spoilers. Actually, I'm not, because it hasn't been 10 years yet, so suck it. Was that a thing that we decided, or did I just arbitrarily decide that?
I don't think I've heard about this before.
I feel like 10 years is a good, like, spoiler zone.
Okay.
Like, then you are definitely so far behind.
That's true, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Lost was in 2008. But please don't think it would be funny to tweet me what happens on Lost, because it wouldn't be. Also, from what I understand, no one really knows what happens on Lost, so...
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. Mills calls in that Corbin is murdered, and then another cop sees Crane and, like, goes to shoot him for no reason.
Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to shoot Crane for no reason in this episode.
So he hears that there's an officer down at the farm, and he's like, I'll drive to the farm and come help you. And then, like, 10 feet later, Crane wanders in front of his car, and he's like, get down or I'll shoot.
Also, that cop's famous, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks very familiar, but I can't place him. Brooks was his name in this.
Hmm.
He's Johnny Cho, American actor and musician.
Oh, okay.
Best known for playing Harold Lee in the Harold and Kumar films.
Oh, right.
So he was an evil cop in this episode.
Mm.
So Crane gets arrested. He's like, hey, I'm Ichabod Crane. I'm from the 1800s. And they're like,
not on my watch, Sonny Jim. And then they send him to a mental asylum. Yeah.
Well, at first they plug him into the old polygraph machine.
Aren't they, like, time and time again proven to not really work?
Yeah, they are. I don't think they're even admissible in a lot of courts these days.
Like, just stop it. Stop doing it.
Yeah. But regardless, they give... It's actually, I think, a reasonably elegant means of him to describe what his deal is.
Yeah, actually, I was impressed with how little they made it feel like an exposition. Yeah,
maybe polygraphs can keep being a thing in fiction in the same way that Freud can still keep being a thing in fiction crit.
What do you mean?
Like how Freud is bullshit in contemporary psychology, but like it's still so loaded with symbolism that like Freudian analysis is still applied to fictional characters a lot.
Ah, okay. That's interesting.
So Crane explains that he defected from the King's Army in the War of Independence because he was like, yo, you're a tyrant. And then it was like, I love America. I'm best friends with George Washington.
Who isn't these days?
Yeah, and then there was a shot where Mills in a line of dialogue that I'm sure was written to like put it in the trailer was like, "There's no rational explanation for you to believe there's a headless horseman running around Sleepy Hollow."
Oh yeah,
such a self-contained piece of exposition that had to be used for promotional material.
Absolutely.
So they throw Crane in a cell, then Abby comes and meets him, and he's immediately racist and sexist to her.
Which they do address like fairly well, I think.
Yeah, he's like, these are the attitudes when I'm from, but I'm cool.
Yeah.
I think because he found out that she was a lieutenant. At first he was like, a woman lieutenant? And she was like, really? And then she was like, well, are you still a slave? And she was like, what? And he's like, don't worry, I'm an abolitionist. I wanted the abolition bill to get through Congress.
Yeah, and she's like, congratulations, it did.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Then they sort of like put that all behind them and this show doesn't become about slavery because that's not something you could deal with.
Well, I feel like they do a pretty good job of, like, not leaning too heavily on the, ooh, I don't understand anything in the future.
Apparently, I found it on the IMDb forums, apparently there's a scene in a later episode where he has a very hard time microwaving some lasagna.
Okay, to be fair, when I was on the AV Club, it did have a screenshot from the latest episode, and he is wearing two oven mitts and looking very confused.
Does this just turn into a sort of...
Just a sitcom?
Yeah, it's like, oh fuck, what's it called? The Robin Williams. It's like Mork and Mindy, but he's from the past instead of being an alien.
Yes, I also want that show.
Ichabod, you burnt my cake. Well, I don't know how to use the oven. The Headless Horseman's coming around for dinner. You need to pretend to be my wife. Yeah, this IMDb forum post I read was like, Ichabod can read. Can't he just follow the instructions on the microwave lasagna box?
I mean, they do make a very good point.
So, something happens. Mills' boss, who is played by that guy from Evolution. What's his name? Orlando Jones or something?
I did not recognize him.
Yeah, I think it's Orlando Jones.
That's a great name.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I thought he was evil because there was a really sinister, like, cut-to-commercial sting he got, but then it turned out Brooks was the evil cop.
Yeah, no, I noticed that as well. Maybe he turns out to be more evil in later episodes.
Yeah. So, her boss is like... Take him to the mental institution, and then they go and explore a cave instead. The cave.
Yeah, not just any cave. The cave that he lived in for 250 years.
He lived in. He didn't live in it. He died in it. He didn't die in it. He was buried in it.
That's just semantics. I feel like he resided there.
Yeah, his body resided there.
Yeah.
So on the way there, Crane comments on the proliferation of Starbuckses in contemporary society, and it was veering very close to being like a bad stand-up bit.
Yeah, but that's also, that was the bit I was thinking of when I was like, it's not like, yeah, they made a joke about there are a lot of Starbuckses.
Yeah. I could imagine him being like, I went on a flying conveyance called an aeroplane. It was so miraculous, but there was this one thing about the food.
What is that actual bit?
I think it's I don't even know if it is a bit.
Like, what is the deal with airline food?
The idea is that it's something that hack comedians would bring up a lot because they don't realise that a lot of people they're playing to don't travel on airplanes nearly as much as they do when they're touring.
Oh, okay.
So it's not, so at least back in like the 90s or whatever, it wasn't particularly relatable.
That's very interesting.
And then it just became shorthand for like a trite stand-up bit.
Yeah, that's fair. But like, also, what is the deal with airline food? I need to know.
It's fine. I mean, it's freeze-dried stuff, I think, for the most part.
But, like, what's the joke
in economy class? There's no joke. It's observational humour. Observational humour has no jokes. It's all about delivery.
Yeah, but you know how normally a lot of the time you're like, haha, yeah, I think that as well. But, like, who's
It's bad. That's the joke. It doesn't taste good, and it comes in those little boxes.
So do microwave dinners. It just tastes like a microwave dinner.
But you don't eat them on a plane, and you don't have to choose between, like, meat and fish, or get something good if you get the kosher option.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know why I don't do that every flight. Like, the vegetarian options were always so much better when I was a vegetarian.
The episode description for this is, we finally establish what the deal is with airline food.
I don't know if we have... Oh, yeah, the deal is that you should pick a specialty option.
So they in the cave, they find a Bible. It might have been George Washington's Bible.
They do mention Washington's Bible, but I didn't know if that was a euphemism for... Can you use euphemism for something that's not a sex term?
Sure.
Okay. I didn't know if that was... If they were actually referring to, like, some sort of, like, war playbook.
Yeah, like the King James Bible. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, like his Bible, like his book, what he wrote all his stuff in.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
But
journal?
They probably did just mean a literal Bible.
I'm pretty sure it was a literal Bible because the book of Revelation was in it.
Oh, no, I mean later in the episode when they talk about Washington's Bible. I veered off already. You said one sentence and I was like, but listen, there's a bird later in the episode.
There is a bird that I didn't really understand.
Okay, so the Bible's there and the book of Revelations is there and it's underlined.
And it's like, four horsemen of the apocalypse will do some shit and two witnesses will watch it. And the headless horseman is death, is what we're driving at.
Yep. And also the two witnesses, Ichabod Crane, it's pretty sure, is him and Abby Mills.
Yeah, as established at the end of the episode.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was established there.
Spoilers.
Like, I thought it was pretty clear that's what he was getting at with the Bible.
I don't know. He also explains that his best friend George Washington told him that the Revolutionary War wasn't just for America, but also determined the fate of the world.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I was like, is that a metaphor for, like, freedom from tyranny and such? But no, it was about literally preventing the apocalypse.
Yep.
Meanwhile, a priest is outside a church and the headless horseman kills him, but the priest also has magic chains.
I'm really sick of this whole, like, creepy magic priest thing. But then it's over very quickly in this episode, so...
Yeah, like, the horseman tries to get him, but then he uses magic to make chains grab the horseman. But then he breaks the chains and also cuts off the head of a nearby horseman crossing road sign so that it looks like a headless horseman.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
It was pretty bad.
I was busy thinking about Desmond. There was something else that I was going to say about this bit. Oh, the priest also says something like, I'm not giving it to you. Or I'm not telling you where it is, or something, implying that the priest is hiding something from the headless horseman.
What could it be? It's his head.
As we find out in the next scene.
Yep, but first they have to go and throw Crane in a mental institution.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do.
Wait, no, before that happens, though, they go to the murder at the church, because...
Of course they do.
Mills gets called in because there's a murder. And she locks Crane in the car and he's like, oh, I don't know how to open a car door. But then this bird shows up and he figures it out.
Yeah, that was weird.
So he follows this bird to Katrina's grave and she was like, oh no, your grave tells me that you were burnt by witchcraft. Whoops.
But she wasn't a witch as far as he was aware. How did this happen?
No. Then they throw him in an institution and we get Mills' backstory, which... It's probably the flimsiest piece of writing in the episode, I think.
Oh my god, absolutely.
So let me set the scene. Mills and her sister were children walking home from school when they got lost in the forest. Then in the forest, they saw four white trees and then they blacked out and that drove her sister insane.
Yep.
That's her tragic backstory with an unsolved case.
But also, they don't really, I think maybe in the first scene where she's talking to the, like, her father figure cop buddy.
Corbin.
Yes. I think he brings up something about her, like, tragic past, but she seems to be doing pretty good, like.
Yeah, she's on the FBI track.
It's really just there as, like, a plot device, not anything, it hasn't affected her character at all.
Pretty much. So while Crane's in the institution, she goes and looks through all of Corbin's files and, like, finds out that he's, like, a crazy conspiracy guy, if you didn't know already. How there was, like, 100 witches put to death in the town between, like, 1712 and 1860. And there were two covens of good and evil.
Well, but
and also that... go on.
They don't really frame it as him being a conspiracy theorist.
No, but it's basically what that means. He had, like, a whole evidence dungeon.
No, that's a good point.
The only thing that was missing was all of his walls covered in red string with newspaper clippings about witches.
Listen, now that you're saying it, I see where you're coming from.
So, also, he, one of his articles or whatever, explains that a farmer also saw four white trees in the 1880s, and the 1880s farmer believed that the trees were symbols for the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
And that's because it was the 1880s and he didn't know any better.
Yeah, but obviously he was right.
Yes, good job.
So watch out for trees.
Particularly if four of them suddenly turn white with no explanation.
I think they were trees that weren't there before.
Oh, okay.
So watch out for moving trees.
Absolutely. Maybe the trees are just playing hide and seek and you interrupted them.
Ooh, maybe they were Ents.
There are so many possibilities that are not the impending apocalypse.
Maybe they were recently planted.
I don't know. Anyway.
Some other stuff happens. Katrina.
Oh, yeah, there's more shit
The bird flies into the mental institute. And then
Ichabod has a fever dream about his wife.
Yeah, and she's like, hey, I'm a witch. And he was like, what?
And she's like, Soz.
Yeah, but I'm like a good witch. And we hid the horseman's skull. And also you guys blood mix when you both die. So you're back alive because he's alive.
That's literally that entire scene. Like,
yeah, and then he wakes up and they're about to inject him with some shit.
Yeah, but then Abby comes in and saves him by giving them, like, a chemistry test or something and saying it's a
corpse. She's like, this is a warrant. Give me your man.
Yep, and then she's like, walk faster, son.
And then that never comes back up again.
Nope. And then, I don't know, so much happens in this episode.
Yeah, they go to the grave. Oh, yeah, and Abby calls Brooks and is like, hey, call it in. We're going to go fight a headless horseman at the graveyard. But then Brooks encounters the headless horseman and he's like, hey, I'm evil. Let's go get the skull.
How does he even know where the skull is? Does she tell him?
Well, he told her that they were going to the graveyard, and I guess he knows that she's palling around with Ichabod.
Yeah, it's true.
It was pretty unclear, though, to be honest.
It was, yeah. But anyway.
So digging up this skull.
Yep.
In Katrina's grave, because she was never buried, because she's trapped in, like, the mirror universe or something.
Yeah, that was another thing that was quite unclear.
It's unclear.
It's fine, though.
Then they're digging it, and then the headless horseman shows up with a shotgun and shoots at them. They have a bit of a gun battle in the graveyard. Then they have a fist... Ichabod and the horseman have a fist fight while Brooks tries to kidnap Abby.
Yes, and she bites his thumb almost off.
She does a pretty, like, good job for, like, modern-day telly of, like, rescuing herself from the damsel in distress situation. She bites his thumb off, cuffs him to the door, and is like, shut your trap. And he's like, I was trying to protect you. And she's like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then some other cops show up and they almost shoot Ichabod, and the horseman shoots at them with an assault rifle, even though I'm pretty sure he only had the one gun and it was a shotgun before.
I would just like to recap that if you have not been paying attention. One of the four horsemen of the apocalypse who has no head shoots at a bunch of police officers with an assault rifle because he realizes it's sunrise and he has to leave in a second.
I love that shit.
It was the best.
Oh, there was a very brief shot just before this scene of, like, the headless horseman emerging for the night, and he was just, like, walking out of this river near his horse, because I guess he lives in the river where they buried him.
Yeah.
So as the sun comes up, I guess he goes back and, like, gets in the river. His clothes are holding up pretty well, considering.
They also don't explain why he can't be in the daylight, just that he can't.
Magic.
Oh, probably because he's evil.
Yeah. So they win the day. They have this skull. There was a big shootout, and Orlando Jones is like, tell the press what's going on. And Abby's like, I don't know. And then she's like, I'm going to go interrogate Brooks. And Brooks is in his cell because he betrayed them. And then Satan kills him and walks into a mirror.
Oh, is that? Okay. I wasn't sure who it was.
Well, it was some sort of demon. I'm assuming Satan.
With, like, ram horns.
Yeah. And actually, I really thought that was really well shot, actually, because, like, Brooks was in the foreground, like, talking to this figure that was coming into the room behind him. But, like, it never came into focus, and also a couple of times, like, it just sort of got drastically closer between frames.
Yeah, that was good.
Well executed, I thought.
I agree.
And then he walks into the mirror just as they're coming up, and then he, like, does a jump scare in the mirror and it smashes.
That was also very well done.
That was fine, I thought.
I was startled by the jump scare.
And that's pretty much the end of the episode, I think. Oh, then we find out that Abby is the second witness.
Oh, yeah. And also, they've got to spend 7 years together.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. In what I thought was quite ambitious for a show that this campy, there was like, we're going to go through 7 years of trials and tribulations because the Bible prophesied it.
So you can't cancel us because the Bible said that we have to do this.
I actually really hate prophecies in fiction, so that burnt a lot of the goodwill for me at the last minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it sort of kills all the tension when, like, people aren't doing these things because they choose to or because it's important to them, but just because it was prophesied, you know?
No, that makes sense. But I feel like this show is so, like, really? That
That's
I
true.
Wasn't. I wasn't like, oh, God. Like, if you'd put that prophecy in Bones, I would be like, this is the worst. But
so, ratings.
I didn't think of anything good.
No, I'm struggling to give this episode, like, a rating with something from it that's symbolic of it. I just think it was, like, really, like, dumb, but also quite fun.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. You watched anything cool lately other than Lost? Or do you want to talk about Lost?
Oh, God. I want to talk about Lost so much, but I've already talked about Desmond, and that's my main Lost thing at the moment.
That's fair.
I'm still watching Switch at Birth. It's gotten really bad. Like, I'm enjoying it on a zoo level at the moment.
Cool.
So I'm like,
I thought you liked this show. That's disappointing.
Like, I was warned that it gets a bit soapy, and it has, but I feel like a lot of the actors don't care anymore.
No, that's disappointing.
I'm on season 3, and there will be a final season later this year, I believe. So at least I get a final season instead of just being straight out cancelled.
Okay, right.
So I feel like I'm just going to commit to watching. I've got 1.5 seasons until I catch up, so I might as well just do that, see it through.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What about you? Oh, I finished reading Gone Girl. The potential spoiler I had last week that you don't find out who did it, you do, unless I misread it.
Okay.
I did once misread a book.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Neither.
It's on my list now because I wanted to read the book first. Now I've done that.
Okay.
What about you?
I watched the first 4 or 5 episodes of Friday Night Lights this week.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm not a big sports guy, and I don't often watch a bunch of straight dramas, but I was surprisingly compelled by it. It's about an American football team in a small town, and their star, when the new coach comes in his first game, the star quarterback has his, like, spine broken and is paralyzed. So now he has to get the team back on track and train up this new quarterback while managing, like, drama and racism and things like that.
Is it Remember the Titans? Is that...
I was flashing back to Remember the Titans a lot, but it's not so explicitly about racism.
Oh, okay. God, I love Remember the Titans. It's such a good movie.
Pretty good. I only watched it in high school, but I remember liking it.
I think it was one of the first DVDs we had, so we watched it a lot.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a lot of DVDs to watch.
So I've seen 4 episodes of this show now, and I am starting to learn how American football works.
Oh.
So you've got this guy who's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And when your team has the ball, he starts with the ball. And he has to, like, juke and jive and throw the ball or, like, pretend to throw the ball and get it to someone who then runs with it, and then it's rugby. But everyone else is always constantly tackling someone or being tackled.
Okay. Is that why they wear the big padding?
Yeah, I guess so. It's rugby, but with armor for the most part.
I see.
There was this one bit where someone disrespected the coach on, like, local news TV. So he got the whole team out of their beds at, like, midnight and took them out to the woods, like, and made them run through this river for hours.
That's not fair.
And then one of the other guys, who's, like, a good player in the team, like, disrespected him at practice earlier and walked off halfway through practice. So he's like, you can walk home.
Dang.
Dang, don't mess with the coach.
Friday Do they Night say Lights. The hay fever slogan, like, every episode?
The hay fever slogan. Oh, yeah, Full hearts, eyes clear, can't lose.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's dumb and I hate it.
They reach their breaking point running through this river, like, halfway through, and he's like, you have to keep going. So they all started chanting it, and then they did it.
Oh, God.
It was pretty good. No, it sold it.
It sounds terrible.
It was good.
It sounds like an after-school special.
You should give it a go after when you've got some room in your TV schedule. You might like it.
Okay. I think I actually did start... Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did start watching it once when I was like, I got nothing else to watch. But then I started something else instead.
All right.
Yep. That was a great story.
Yeah. And that was a great episode of podcast.
Yeah.
Check out our new Facebook discussion group on Facebook. Google Teavescast. Nope. Find it.
Well, Google it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Face Google.
Things like our email address, you know that. Tumblr. Rate us on iTunes.
Please.
Cool. And our theme music was In the Crowd by The Years and Really, Really Weird by The Simple Carnival. Thanks, guys.
Do you have somewhere to be? You're just powering through.
You know, people listen. They hear this every week. We don't need to say it all in detail all the time.
No, that's a good point. All right. Yep, cool.
Radical dude. Watch out for Headless Horsemen's.
Absolutely. Oh, do you want to plug your new podcast?
Oh, yeah, sure. Coming out in the next couple of weeks, I should have a new podcast tentatively titled JoJo's World, where Nick Ballantyne and I recap and analyse the only anime worth watching, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
So if you're into that, or if you're not into that, listen to it.
Yeah, follow my digital content.
I will graciously tweet a link on our Twitter when it's up.
Ah.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Bye.
Bye, friends.